My name's Ashley McKenzie, and I'm the writer-director of Queens of the Qing Dynasty.
Ashley, I know how difficult it is to make feature films in Nova Scotia. I know a little bit about how the system works and how the micro-budget system works, but I also know that getting your second film made is something of a miracle, too. Can you talk a little bit about what happened between Werewolf and this new feature and how it came to be?
It's true. I think the move from a first to second feature is maybe less documented. I think a lot of us focus on making short films, and there's this build and journey towards the first feature, and you put kind of everything into that part of the journey. And then when it's done, for me, it was definitely like reflecting and looking around and being like, okay, like how do I now move from that first feature into making another and onwards, which is like a question of sustainability as a filmmaker and just trying to figure out how to build your life so you can continue to do it. So that was definitely, I guess I definitely felt that gap or that bridge was something that people talk about less. I think for me, I wanted to take the time to write my script this time, and it was like a longer script, and after touring with my first film, you know, the first film would have kept, it could continue to have a life maybe indefinitely, and I sort of had to intentionally stop that film and like carve out some space to really work on this next one and spend some time with it.
One of the things that really struck me about your new feature is how you're really examining healthcare to some degree. One of your lead characters is going through a system, and I noted that the stuff that you shot within a hospital is all very claustrophobic. Like there are no windows. It feels very much like this enclosed space, and to the point where you're sending cameras down the throat of your lead actor. How were you able to have that happen? Because I don't think that's something I've ever seen before.
Yeah, the film is a very specific character study and kind of an exploration into interiority or even dimensionality. And the camera choices I made and the focus on the two lead actors starring on, it was definitely like trying to get into their consciousness a bit. And in doing that, it became very insular. And also it was shot in wintertime, and it was before COVID, before things became very insular for everyone, but maybe, you know, there was something happening there, some foreshadowing. The two characters, it did feel interesting to decontextualize things and almost like, you know, they could be in an alternate universe at any point in the film because there is a lack of environmental establishing, I guess. And the journey became one in which it's like just digging and burrowing into their minds and into their feelings and into their emotions through talking, really. It's like a very dialogue-heavy film. And so that, yeah, I think the narrative thrust of the film is in that kind of a journey. But with the scene you're referencing, the endoscopy scene?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, your camera literally goes down the throat of your actor, which is startling. But it also feels like, as a metaphor for what, you know, is happening to her, I thought it was powerful visually.
Yeah, I think for Star, she's a, you know, a teenager who's, as you see at the beginning of the film, she's in a cycle of being in and out of the healthcare system throughout her life. And there's a probing process, I think, and a certain invasiveness in some ways that I think she experiences in that model of healthcare. I think it's, you know, choosing to shoot a scene where you see the endoscopy. It's a bit symbolic, I guess. She references that in the scene too. It captures a type of healthcare that I think is the one that she is trying to find help within, but I think what she actually needs is a different type of care, and that kind of comes in the form of On in the film and a different type of connection and probing, a probing that is actually opens her up and helps her heal.
Now that I've seen two of your features, I'm seeing like thematic, I'm drawing thematic threads between them, mm-hmm. a sort of two-hander, two characters on the margins in some ways, an unusual connections between them. And I wonder what it is about stories like this where characters really feel on the ragged edge of something. They're very vulnerable mm-hmm. in a system that sometimes doesn't seem to care very much about them. And I wondered, what is it about those stories that really, you know, appeals to you?
I think those stories, like, I think they probably build from the connections that I make with people in the real world and people in my community. And I think it must be the way that I form relationships with people. And I'm always curious about people, especially people who are living a life that's different than mine. I like to forge those connections, and I think the scripts then often begin as a dialogue that I'm having with another person, and that's the beginning. And so I think that's where the two-hander thing comes into play, and then oftentimes my side of that conversation is then sort of removed from the film, and maybe another character comes in that is likely inspired by another type of relationship or friendship or inspiration that I found in someone else in my world. And yeah, I think that's maybe why it has that kind of two-hander structure.
It sounds all quite organic, like you're sort of making it up as you go along, though I would be surprised if you didn't do a lot of planning and screenwriting in advance, but you're working with a lot of non-professional performers in some degree, and I wonder how you have the confidence to know, okay, this is a person who can do the things I need them to do for these roles.
Yeah, it is a big leap to ask of an actor, because in this film, everyone, it's a film debut, and some people have performance experience and some don't, but I think I try to do my due diligence and preparation by doing camera tests, you know, auditions, and just, yeah, I think that's putting the time into that and kind of like workshopping it a bit, and maybe improvising, I guess, as well in auditions and in camera tests, just to see if I think it's going to work, and if it feels good then, and, you know, then I usually go for it.
I really enjoyed what I learned about Chinese culture and Chinese mythology through one of your characters in the film, and I wondered, was that something you were aware of in advance, or did it come up during connecting with your actor?
Yeah, all of those details are really tied to the performer who plays An Zian, and they're someone that moved across the street from me when I was probably like quite deep into writing the script and had quite a fully formed version, except for that the character that they play, which is a sitter in the hospital, to me wasn't quite there yet. So when I met them, they were bringing all of their experiences as a newcomer to Canada and as an international student in Unamagi, Cape Breton, and as someone who spent their life up until that point in Shanghai with vast interests and like a very deep thinker, just a very fascinating person. So they just had a lot to share and a lot of ideas, and it was just fascinating, and they wanted to act in a film, and so I tried with them as a script consultant, working with their life experience to write a draft of the script that had them for them basically, and then I thought it was working, and did again the process of auditioning and doing some on-camera tests with them, and now, yeah, it's such a, now the title of the film is so tied to them, and it's, yeah, it was very enriching to be able to collaborate with them.
One of the things I've noticed about your two features is you sort of have an idiosyncratic way with a camera in the way you frame your characters, where you sometimes have a certain distance from them watching what they do, and other times extraordinary close-ups of parts of their physicality that you don't always see highlighted in a feature film, and that struck me right away with Werewolf, but I'm seeing it again here, and I wondered how much of that you plan in advance, or is it on the day you're just like, okay, this is what this scene is about, and this is where I want to put the camera.
There's always quite a bit of planning in terms of like location scouting with my cinematographer and really exploring all the possible angles of a space and thinking about what lenses or camera positions are going to capture the characters in all their fullness, which was kind of the change with this film, I would say, that we had to shoot in like wider lenses, and we decided to never shoot the characters straight on, always on angles and stuff, because we wanted to have as much depth and shape to them as possible, because the film is like, again, like kind of about their dimensionality and the complexity of their shape as humans. So yeah, we did have that in mind, but on the day, it still seems like you do all that prep, and on the day you walk in there and maybe everything you thought was gonna look right isn't quite looking right, and I'm always open, and so is my cinematographer Scott, to just like looking through the lens and trying to find what feels in our guts like the right spot to frame the scene.
And you edit your film with your cinematographer, and I wonder how that process is in terms of making decisions about where the story is going to go. I mean, have you shot so much during the course of the shooting schedule that there might be different versions of the film that you have to decide upon when you're in post-production?
For sure. It definitely could have been a 3-hour film. The script was really long. We did lots of takes, and the editing was a long process. It was really demanding, and we did explore, like, I like to explore every possible option, and Scott like put a lot of time into the edit as well. So things changed, but maybe not as much as I thought they would. Like, I think with Werewolf, there was a little bit more of things shifting in the edit, or maybe shifting in the shoot. Like, ultimately, I think the script is still there in almost its full form, and it was just, you know, trying to. The whole process is just a rewriting process, I think, from start to finish. It's just, you know, trying to be open to listening to what the film has become and helping it, you know, fully realize itself.
Now it's about to find its audience, and in the festival circuit, which is pretty exciting, but also, you know, go out into the world. And I'm just wondering what you're hoping people, I guess, take away from this story. Do you have a particular ambition for your audience to understand about the film?
I think the thing that that feels important to me about the film is the representation of Star and On as people. I think that it's probably, when you watch the film, I would be surprised if you've seen characters like them on screen before. And I think that's important. I think it's important to have characters and stories take many different forms, because like the variation in humanity is vast, and it's like just a small sliver of that is represented, I think, in media and in art and storytelling. I think there's just so many more modes of experience and representation that can be delved into. So that's important to me. I guess maybe on that same note of something that's important to me is showing a relationship that, you know, is a loving relationship, a romantic relationship, but isn't like a sexual relationship. I also think that, you know, in a lot of films, to have a whole piece that is focusing on the many types of attraction and chemistry that these two characters have, I like the fact that it's going there, but it's not in like a sexualized context. Star says she's asexual in the film. But yeah, that to me is like a fun thing, and something also that I feel like I don't see often in cinema. So yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.